It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast. It's
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Hi, Rant Man. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm having a wonderful time today.
Nice, nice. I'll tell you what, this is one of the more difficult topics of du jour that we've had. This is tough.
It's really tough. And I was thinking about it, and, you know, my wife always asked me, she's, you know, what's the topic today? And I told her it was comedy, and she kind of went like, ooh.
Yeah.
And it's because
people are going to be pissed.
People are going to be pissed, but I feel like it's so subjective, like, to what you find. It's, you know, we have differing opinions in terms of, like, horror, but I feel like comedy's so much worse, you know?
I was going to say, without tipping our hand completely just yet, I would say the stuff that we have ranked 1, 2, and 3 are probably on everybody's list.
Yes.
And then after that, 4 could be not on your list. You know what I mean? Like, and from there, it's very subjective. There's like a lot of great comedians that I like that didn't even crack our top 10. So there's a lot, but we'll get to that, Ryan.
We'll get to it. We'll get to all of that.
Easy, big fella. We'll get to it.
We will get to that.
Let's start with the news. Ryan, first things first, let's take a quick look at what is at the box office right now.
Sure.
Because I've not seen any of these movies, so we're going to play the little game called if all of these movies were on at once, sitting at home, and you could watch one of them, which one would it be? I'll give you four nominees.
Sure. Hit me.
Creed 2.
Okay.
Ralph Breaks the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic Beasts 2. Electric Boogaloo.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin Hood.
I'm watching Wreck-It Ralph, like, hands, like, not even close.
Really? So yep. Wreck-It Ralph's killing it. It's got, like, a high 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Creed 2 was also in the 80s. Fantastic Beasts, not so much. Meanwhile, Robin Hood might be one of the worst movies ever made. And that's not hyperbole, Ryan.
No, it's not.
That is the real deal. Let me check, get you the updated score. Oh, it's actually jumped up to 17%.
Oh.
I had it clocked in at 11%.
Did anyone draft this in the movie draft? I'd say we didn't.
We did not. I know for sure we took Creed 2, but we did not take Robin Hood.
Which is fine. I'll take Creed 2 at the 82% and, you know, making second in the box office. We'll take that. For those of you guys who stuck around long enough for our movie draft, the Mac and Goo movie draft, we are keeping pace. What we thought was a slow time for us. We're actually starting to get some steam.
Yeah, so that is, we drafted us, Mac and Goo, and the Boxers, all drafted movies at the very beginning of the year. We had, like, it was like a auction draft, and then based on how they do on Rotten Tomatoes, critics and audience combined with how much money they make. So it's a complicated formula, but basically you want good movies and you want movies that make a lot of money.
Yes.
And so Mac and Goo had Avengers and Black Panther, so they were so out in front of everybody.
But
we've had enough sort of chipping away that it's going to be pretty close. I think we have a good chance.
Well, what helps us, too, is that while Mac and Goo lucked out with those probably the two biggest movies of the year, they also drafted a commercial.
That's correct.
Netflix movie and two movies that have been pushed to 2019.
That's right.
So none of those count.
That should help us.
And we were slow and steady. I think we were the only team that picked. And I wasn't physically there, but you had all my picks going in. You know what I wanted. You know what I wanted to do, and you did a great job. And what I'm hearing now, Richard, and I sent you the link via text, is that Into the Spider-Verse, the early reports out of that, is now it's being regarded as one of the best Spider-Man movies ever put on film, animated or live action.
Ooh. And we also have that. That's our last movie.
That's our last movie. So hopefully that kills it.
Here, I just pulled up the list. Here's real quick the movies that we drafted. Ant-Man and the Wasp, mm-hmm. Venom, Deadpool 2, Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom.
Yuck.
Creed 2, Sicario 2.
That was a dump.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Chappaquiddick. This was the big sleeper, sneaky pick. It was Mission Impossible 6.
Yeah.
That killed it. That crushed.
I was wincing when you drafted that from afar, and then I was like,
crushed.
All right, that actually crushed it.
Then Halloween, Tomb Raider, Acrimony. That's Tyler Perry's Acrimony.
Tyler Perry Acrimony.
Holmes and Watson's. That one's still coming out.
Yep.
Hotel Transylvania 3, Mamma Mia, here we go again, Ocean's 8, Rampage, Smallfoot, Super Troopers 2, and Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Can you imagine?
That was also in order of how much each one cost, too. So those ones at the end, were I all got for like a buck.
Can you believe that this year has been so long that Super Troopers 2 actually came out this year, as did Black Panther? Those are all 2018 movies.
No, that one, that really does blow my mind. Because I was thinking in a couple of weeks, we're going to do like the best, or we're going to do the Dorkies, or whatever we're going to do. And I'm like, what were the best movies I saw this year? And obviously Avengers jumps out, but I'm like, oh yeah, Black Panther was this year.
Yeah,
like,
that's just crazy.
Does not feel like this year at all.
Not at all.
So yeah, we'll have to go all the way back, all the TV shows, all the movies, all the video games, all the comic books from this year. So that'll be a lot of fun. One of the movies that's coming out next year, Ryan, is The Lion King. And they just had their trailer this week. People seem to love it. I am not one of those people.
Why is that?
I don't think they need to make it. I think the cartoon was good. And like, they're like, oh, this is a live action. Like, pretty sure they don't have trained lions.
No, it's
pretty
not.
Sure they don't have trained baboons. I'm pretty sure they don't have trained all these other creatures.
It's not. I love the whole misleading like live action thing. Like, that's not what live action means. It just means that it's CGI instead of animation. That's all that means.
And so why? Let me ask you this: why do you being a movie studio, why do you remake a movie?
Because it's an absolute cash grab. And remember Disney used to do that thing with The Vault, where like after they would sell a VHS tape or a DVD, they would put it in this supposed vault, and then you couldn't get it?
They had some weird stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like you couldn't buy like The Little Mermaid for like 15 years. You know, it was this really weird thing.
All those tapes that we have, that my family has, they're probably worth something now.
Yeah, yeah, especially if you have that that Little Mermaid cover with the
penises
with the on the thing, you know,
the male reproductive organ.
Yeah, we don't like to work blue, but you know, that's
no,
that's
we
a
try
thing
not
that
to
happened.
But yeah, that's just what it is. Are you excited for this Lion King?
I'm excited. Yes and no. I'm excited that my children will be excited, much like why I would see Wreck-It Ralph, because I love Wreck-It Ralph. And so, you know, other than that, I'm just like, you know, it's a nice day out for my family, but I'm not like going crazy for it, you know.
People, I mean, it was the reaction online was like, this was the greatest movie of all time. And no, this is a remake.
It's a remake.
This is a remake. Let's not lose our minds.
Right.
Like, oh my God, but Beyonce's in it. I'm like, all right,
great. So Donald Glover's in it. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I am psyched about is that James Earl Jones is reprising his role as Mufasa.
But that was like my example for how like they know it's not going to be better than the cartoon. They were like, we can't top that voice, so let's just bring him back.
Let's bring him back.
Oh my God.
They're going to Tony contain him into the sound recording studio.
Oh yeah. I can't imagine he's well.
No.
You know, I mean, it's not a pick of the pod yet.
Yet.
Here's, well, I don't want to go down this road, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Yeah.
Well, no, you don't want to make a prediction.
No, let's do it. Go ahead.
Will he be a pick of the pod before the movie comes out?
No.
Okay, good. I agree with you. Let's keep it positive.
Yeah.
That would be terrible. Ryan, this is also potentially positive news. Maybe not. But Marvel Sony apparently has two movies set to come out in 2020. Now, they won't tell us which because they're very secretive. But a lot of people believe it's going to be Venom 2, Electric Boogaloo, and Morbius with Jared Leto. Other possibilities include Black Cat, Silver Sable, Kraven the Hunter, and Silk.
See, this is what bothers me, is that you can have your Venom, have your Morbius, but like Black Cat, Silver Sable, Kraven the Hunter, and Silk. Well, Silk I can do without, but Kraven the Hunter, Silver Sable, and Black Cat are all characters I need to see in the actual Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I know. Kraven the Hunter, like if they're going to keep making these Tom Holland movies, we need Kraven the Hunter in there.
Absolutely.
And Silk, and like, so for people who don't know what Silk is, Silk's almost like a lady Spider-Man almost. Yes. Right? Okay.
Ish.
I am, ish, right. I know that's just like oversimplified, but Morbius, I'm actually on board for a Morbius movie.
You do love the vampires.
I think vampires could have a comeback. aren't we kind of sleeping on vampires enough right now that they could come back?
You know what did them in was Twilight in the Underworld series.
Twilight fucked them pretty hard.
That burned vampires, you know.
That did. Then there was that Vampire Diaries show on the CW,
which did okay.
It did. No, it's those CW shows are pretty popular, but
I don't know why. I just don't know why. Maybe it's me. Come on. Maybe it's something I'm not doing.
Good
stuff.
Dude, Arrow's good this year. I've caught up on Arrow again.
All right.
I'm liking it. All right, Ryan, last week we mentioned this and we were like, oh yeah, I think there's going to be a Big Mouth season 3, but we missed it somehow. There wasn't an official like Netflix Twitter announcement. So they didn't say when, but there is for sure Big Mouth season 3. That's good news.
It has to be. It's one of the best shows they have.
It's hilarious. Speaking of Netflix, how about this little news? I think we all love Roald Dahl books. Am I right?
Ooh, yeah, we
like
do.
Roald Dahl?
Sure.
Netflix has come to an agreement here, and they're going to have a Roald Dahl universe. It's going to be animated, but so they're going to have Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Charlie and the Great Glass Elevator, Matilda, the Misfits, BFG. All these guys are going to be – they're going to get like their own either shows or movies, and I think they might overlap. But I am on board.
I am on board with that too. What's a nice little, you know, nice little thing like that? Is the Fantastic Mr. Fox going to be in there as well?
I don't see why not.
I don't see why not either.
I don't see why not. We are right now, Ryan, 100 days away as the time that we're recording this. 100 days until Captain Marvel.
I'm excited.
That gets it going a little bit.
I'm excited.
Make a move?
I do. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. Gets okay. The temperature up a little bit. I'm actually excited for this movie and see how I'm dying to see how they bring her in. I'm dying to see, like,
me too.
You know, how she fits into this whole thing. As long
and the make or break point is going to be, how do they explain how they didn't call her sooner?
And it's got to be, it has to be, I keep going back to like the quantum realm. Like it has to have something to do with that. And that, like, somehow Scott Lang, like, finds her or finds somebody or Doctor Strange, like, in the quantum realm. And
yeah.
They bust out. I don't know.
Or she's going to be like, you can't contact me for 22 years.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, don't call me unless you need me, you know, something.
I know, but they needed her. They needed her a long time ago.
Yeah. It's like, I always, watching Power Rangers as a kid, you know, I was like, why do they wait to like form up into that big robot? Yeah. Like, why don't they just do that from the start and step on the thing?
They could kick ass right now.
Yeah, let's like, what are you waiting for?
Yeah, no, I know. And speaking of Marvel and the MCU, there is some scuttlebutt out there on the internet streets, Ryan, that we could get an Avengers 4 trailer at some point, maybe even while you're listening to this right now. There could be an Avengers 4 trailer out there.
So,
we, of course, will tweet it out. We will comment on it. And you know what? Here's my promise to you. If there is an Avengers 4 trailer between now and next week, next week's episode will be entirely devoted to the trailer.
Just a frame-by-frame breakdown, like a Zapruder film of this trailer. And I was tipped off by my boy, The Fridge, who formerly of the Good Brothers podcast, who said, hey, did you read this? And he said, oh, yeah.
What happened there?
He got a little lippy on the air, said some bad words, and the sponsors that they had didn't like them.
Is that right?
Yeah, he said some things, and he got his one sponsor pulled. So,
oh no!
And it was I believe it was like a ticket agency that specialized in like independent wrestling circuits.
Oh boy! So like, well, you know what we gotta do? Well, we gotta hook him up with Rossi, and they can get some wrestling stuff going together.
He would lose his mind.
That's what we need to do.
Yep.
He's got a little lippy. What?
He's just using some bad words. You know, he has strong feelings. He's a person whose passion bubbles very closely to the surface.
It's like so. Swear words?
Oh, yeah, swear words. Swear words.
Okay. I was going to say, because I know him not to, toe the racial or ethnic lines. That's not what he would do.
No. He didn't do that. No, it was just swear words.
That's ridiculous. But
yeah, whatever.
All right. So anyway, Avengers 4. Actually, that'd be great. That would give us something to talk about next week. And so hopefully there will be a trailer coming up. That's all the news that I got, Ryan. Let's get to your news.
It's time for Davey's Video Game Minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, what do you have?
Well, I don't have too much news. The big news, obviously, is that the Red Dead Redemption 2 online servers are actually live as we speak for those who bought the Ultimate Edition. For us regular folk who don't have like $120 to spend on a single video game, it'll be out tomorrow. So, there's some really good things that are coming with this. You can have a permanent camp. You can have a permanent posse where people can, you know, like in the game where you can like pool your money.
Yeah.
Like the posse can like pool their money and you can like have a camp like somewhere on the map.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Do you know what the answer is as far as your character? Because like right now everybody just plays as that dude, Arthur Morgan.
Oh, I think it's going to be like five where like Grand Theft Auto five, where you, you create the character before you step into the game.
Awesome.
So, awesome. And I'm sure you'll start with some very base stuff, but then as you go, you can unlock some stuff, and the more money you get, the better stuff you get. You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
And from what I'm told, there is a co-op story mode that kind of goes with online. Like, there's like quests and stuff you can do as a group, which sounds really fun, and it sounds like something we you and I should
I'd like, you know, to think so.
Explore and have. I think it's like 1 to 4 players for those, and you can have like as many people as you want, your posse, so we could have a dork posse going on.
Can we call it the Insane Clown Posse?
Oh, I don't know about that. How about just like the well-mannered...
how about you sleep on it?
I'll
you
sleep
don't have
on
to answer
it.
Right now.
I'll sleep
you don't
on
have
it.
To answer me right now, but it's something to think about.
I will sleep on it. It would be interesting to see, too, if you don't have to be like a cowboy. I would love to be maybe like a native, or maybe...
Oh, yeah. And you could be Shaggy Too Dope, and I could be Violent J.
Okay.
And then we'll just go. We'll just go around.
We'll just play jazz.
And then what we'll do is we'll recruit, and everybody that's a part of our posse are then juggalos, and we'll just go all around town.
We need some sort of cool initiation. What we used to do in Grand Theft Auto V, I was in like a gang, and in Grand Theft Auto V, we called ourselves the White Collar Ballers, and we had we had like our high rise and everything. And what we would do is we would get up to like 4 stars, and be like, all right, this is your initiation. And then we'd get up to like 4 stars and we'd pull over and be like, tell the guy, like, all right, go rob this convenience store. And then we would just leave him.
I love it.
And then you'd be like, all right, if you find your way back, you're in the gang. If you don't, you're out.
I love it.
If you get back without getting killed, you're in.
I think we do this. We will drop somebody off at a farm. And because you know how like there's always like people picking farm.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to kill as many people with a knife as possible. Because that's the only way I play the game.
Gruesome. Oh, that is gruesome.
I'm a real degenerate sicko when I play that game.
Yeah.
But so there, I had a real problem because I never thought I was going to get attached to my horse.
Oh.
And everybody's like, oh, like you fall in love with your horse, you fall in love with your horse. So I have my horse, and it's really like I haven't changed. Like I've gotten horses, but I usually just like stable them and I keep the one.
Which horse?
And so I have Bojack. He's like one of the first horses.
Oh, Bojack.
Not the first horse, maybe the second horse that I got.
That's a great name.
It was Bojack. And I've been riding around with him. And I do the thing where, you know, I just get off my horse and I just kill everybody on the street and I kill whoever. And so this time, this was so bad. And this was so my fault because I'm such an idiot. I killed like 3 guys and then another guy's shooting at me and he runs behind Bojack and I shot Bojack in the head.
It was
the worst.
Tug.
I go, no. I go, Bojack. Fuck. Like, blood is pouring out of his head. I'm like, revive him. Like, where's his remedy? I'm like, drink this horse medicine. Bojack, drink the horse medicine.
You're going to be okay.
Bojack.
So, I know.
So then what happens is this. So then, sorry, let me just quickly finish. So I kill everybody in the area. I'm crying over the horse. There's so much blood at this point.
There's so much blood.
He's clearly dead. So then I'm like, all right, maybe the game didn't save. So I just dropped a Molotov cocktail and jumped on it. And then so I die immediately. I wake up and I whistle for my horse. And some bullshit imposter horse comes through. Some Tennessee Walker comes clippity clappity by, and I was like, "Who the fuck are you? Where's Bojack?"
I love how you threw yourself on a funeral pyre like a Greek tragedy to save your horse.
There was so much blood, and the worst was like a part of me. At first, I was like, "Did I shoot?" I'm like, "I shot their horse, right?" And I'm like, "No, that's Bojack."
You saunter over to him, feeling all big. And you're like, no.
Trying to put the blood back in him. No, Bojack, no.
So I will tell you that in online mode, you can buy horse insurance.
I wish I took out some.
Yeah.
These assholes aren't the same. And then how do you change the name of your horse?
You have to go to a stable and do it.
That's what I figured because I did it the first time. Because then I got this stupid idiot horse now. He stinks, and he's like not fast like BoJack was.
It's like the horse that Peter Griffin brought home, the like the the dumb horse that he brought home.
It is. It's just like him. Like, I hate him, and it's not his fault. I just hate him. I'm like, you're not BoJack.
All right. The Davey Video Game Minute is officially over, by the way.
Okay. That was a good one.
That was awesome. No.
BoJack. Because that poor bastard, he made it through a couple of tough times. Like, I've had to revive him a couple of times, and I was like, I got really nervous, but then he lived, and I was like, okay, all right. Okay.
All right. A couple close calls.
Man. All right, Ryan, should we get to our topic du jour?
I don't think so. I think we stick with BoJack, but what's that again?
Should we just end it?
The Ballad of BoJack.
The Ballad of BoJack Horseman. BoJack Horse. Well, now I'm going to just do a line of like BoJack 2, BoJack 3, BoJack 4. That's what's happening now. But all right, here we go. This is a top 10 stand-up specials. So there is a difference. This isn't just who are your 10 favorite comedians.
Right.
Because I think that would certainly be a different list.
Oh, that's right? a completely different list. This is like the stand-up specials that I've seen that changed me in some way.
Yes. These are the ones that I love. These are the ones that I would recommend to people. And so rather than each coming up with our own 10, that's what we did, but then we smashed them together, so we're going to present to you one group of 10. I think we had like 6 or 7 overlaps, though, so I don't know if that's surprising or not surprising, but either way, I will start with number 10, and let me ask you this. Should I cheat and give you a tied for 10, or is that already cheap to start?
No, let's do tied for 10.
Okay. Tied for 10. Two that were on my list, they missed out on Davey's list, but these two were Zach Galifianakis live at the Purple Onion and Bill Burr Let It Go.
If I think being a Boston-based podcast, if we do not mention Bill Burr, we would be like absolutely crucified.
And so he's an example of if you just told me to give you like the 10 best stand-up comedians, Bill Burr's on mine, no question.
Yes.
But then when we're going through it, I'm like, oh, well, I really want to have this on there. And then like Davey's list, and I was looking at it, I'm like, all right, we got to have this guy. We got to have this special. We got to have this. And Bill Burr has a bunch of good ones to choose from. Let It Go, I think, is my favorite, but I didn't rewatch them all this week, so there might be another one that's better. But that was the one I think he did in like 2010. Hilarious. Like, just his whole presence is hysterical.
Yeah, I mean, he's just one of those like angry comics, which is nice. Like Boston guy. Like, I grew up with that guy, you know, and like that's like my dad. You know what I mean?
I was gonna say we all know a guy. Some of them are in our family, or some of them you know very well. Like, that's just how they talk. They talk that fast. They just bust balls and they just rip through it. Self-deprecating, but also just they're gonna shit on you with the best of them.
And I think
hilarious.
Yeah, and the only knock I would have against Bill Burr is, like you said, like he has like 5 or 6 good comedy specials, but none of them are like wire to wire hilarious. You know, he kind of loses me in spots, and you know, like the yelling gets a little too much at times.
I was gonna say, and sometimes actually with a lot of comedians, I feel like is sometimes they might rely too much on like certain like voices or like characters when that's not really their thing. Like,
right.
To me, Bill Burr, just even himself, like just his voice alone, just going through that. Like, I like his girl voice is kind of funny, but sometimes if he relies on it too much, I'm like, just stick with, you know, just scream at me a little bit.
Yeah,
like, go ahead.
Just
do that.
No, and like meanwhile, you said,
go ahead. No, go ahead on Burr, because I'll talk about Galifianakis.
Like I said, I just, Let It Go was his, is probably his best, the best of his comedy specials.
Yeah, I think so. Galifianakis is very different. I think everybody certainly knows him from The Hangover and all these other movies. So this came out before The Hangover. And this one, it's kind of cheating in a way, because if you watch the special, it also splices in like an interview that's being done with Zach's, quote, twin brother Seth, which is one of the characters that he plays in Baskets.
Yes.
And so it's the guy, I forget his name, but he plays the lawyer on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. That guy interviews Seth about Zach. And so they just like splice that back and forth. And then like Zach's in one of these like smaller kind of like comedy clubs, and he like playing the piano for some of it. It's super dry. Like, he does crowd work. Then he's like just these little like one liners. Like, I remember one of the one liners, like just out of nowhere, he's like, I saw Miss Congeniality 2. Wasn't as good as I thought it would be. You're just like no shit. But it's just, it's this one, I would admit, is not for everybody. But if you like, if you like Baskets or like part of Baskets, I think Baskets is like too depressing. But like,
it has got too depressing. The first two seasons of Baskets were awesome.
Were great, and even you can even see some of this character in the character Alan in The Hangover. Like, yes. You can sort of see like that's what they wanted, like when they got Galifianakis, and so he is. I just really wanted to include that. Whereas if you were like 10 best stand-up comics, he's probably getting bumped out for some of the guys that I'll talk about in honorable mention. But if, like, for just specials, that's the difference. That's why I have him in there.
And it, like you said, this is a really good one. It might be cheating a bit because he has like some of the set pieces. And it wasn't Uncle Jack. It was the other lawyer, like the good lawyer.
That's what I mean. No, yeah.
I said Uncle Jack. I remember now. Did.
Yeah, no, the other guy.
Yeah, and it starts out, I think he says something along the lines of like, people are clapping for him and he comes out on stage and he says something like, be quiet, I'm very interesting.
Yeah, right.
Like, and it's like that's how the show starts, and it's just so offbeat and so different from anything else on this list that it's definitely worth watching.
He's doing a thing where he's just playing the piano and he's like looking at the camera weird, and he goes, I wish I had the balls to do this for a whole hour. Like, just stare at the camera and not do anything. And he's like, he's talking like he's the audience. He's like, hey, so how was Zach? Like, oh, you know, it was pretty good at first, but, you know, he just kind of... And then he does a whole closing number where he has, like, a kid choir singing. And he's just standing there, and he has all these jokes or all these, like, words written on, like, this giant notepad. And he's just, like, ripping them off. And they're, like, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, it's good. So, it's definitely worth a watch.
I like that one. All right, you got number nine.
I got number nine. So number nine, again, one of our – it's going to be a controversial one, and this is going to be one that people – but not taking into account current events. Louis C.K.'s Shameless was one of the comedy specials. I had been pretty down on comedy for some time. I think this came out in like 2010, I think. 2007. No, I'm just looking at it. 2007. So this came out in 2007.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yep.
So we're coming off, and in my, like, we're coming off, Dane Cook is very hot at this point.
Yep.
And it's very, like, in-your-face comedy. It's very, like, you know, I was listening to a lot of, like, Jim Norton, which is kind of, like, gross-out humor, and, you know, Dane Cook, which is, you know, very upbeat, very energetic.
A lot of energy, yeah.
And then one of my buddies, like, recommended, you got to see this, you got to see this. And it started me getting back into stand-up comedy again in this Louis C.K. special, Shameless, which probably one of his better, absolutely seamless, and just deadpan, self-deprecating humor, which as I get older, I find more funny. Because it's easier as you get older to kind of poke fun at yourself. And I've watched this again recently to get ready for this podcast. And he talks a lot about, like, being a dad and, like, how his kids are assholes. And, like, I get it now. I didn't get it then, but I get it now. So it's, like, little things like that. This is one you can kind of revisit and kind of pick jokes out. Or maybe you don't want anything to do with Louis C.K., and I get that. So maybe skip this one, but, you know.
No, I know. It's a weird one. Like, it definitely should be included. Like, he is one of the great stand-up comedians. Like, I think he's a creep. Like, I know, again, like, what he did isn't on the level of, like, what Harvey Weinstein did, but it's still, like, come on, man.
It's not great. You know what
I mean? Like, it's just, it's not great at all.
It's not great.
But just that, yeah, that special on its own was pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you say, back in 2007, you know, Dane Cook was really hot, and, you know, you had seen him, you hadn't seen Louis C.K., but you may have seen some of Louis C.K.'s bits.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You may have heard some of his bits.
And then so we can get into that coming up a little bit, sort of where that stands and everything else with Dane Cook. But no, Louis C.K. definitely probably should be on this list. So he's there at number nine. Number eight, I'm going with Patrice O'Neill's Elephant in the Room.
Dynamite.
Which came out in 2011. And... sadly, like, just months before he passed away.
Has he been gone that long? He been dead that long?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And if you watch it recently, it's crazy, like, how he's talking about, like, how he's going to die soon. Like, basically in the thing. You know, like a guy that size, like, he's just, like, admitting to what's going on.
Yeah.
But he seems to me, like, on this list, he would probably be the coolest guy to hang out with. And, like, the most fun to hang out with.
Right. Like, I think a lot of these comedians, like, I'm looking down the list, and a lot of these guys have their demons.
I think, yeah, they all do. That's, like, one thing they have in common.
Is that, like, yeah, they're just, like, really, really off-putting in real life. But I think listening to Patrice O'Neill and, like, the old Opie and Anthony's and stuff, like, he was just one of the funniest people.
Well, it's crazy. Like, when he died, guys like Louis C.K., like Bill Burr, like Dane Cook, like Jim Norton, they pretty much all to a man came out and were like, he was the funniest guy. They're like, we would all hang out all the time, and like we would all do sets together, and we would all do this, and like he was the best comedian, which is crazy. Like, he didn't have the success as those other guys. But that is, talk about a, if you want to go down a rabbit hole, you mentioned the Opie and Anthony interviews with Patrice, because Patrice, he'd just be like a third host a lot of times. Right. So he'd be on for full shows, and hilarious. There's one I recommend. He's on with Borat, Sacha Baron Cohen, who's in character as Borat the whole time. Yeah. And Patrice is on. Also, the last interview that Patrice O'Neill ever did was on the Jay Moore podcast, Moore Stories.
Yep.
I don't know if it's available. Like, I don't know if every one of his episodes are available, but if you can find that somewhere, that was pretty good. And it's kind of like sad to listen to, because he was basically coming to grips with it. He's like, you know what? Like, I'm going to start like trying more. Like, he turns down a lot of stuff. Like, Patrice has talked about it on the air. Like, this is the only reason I know about it. You've heard these interviews, and he's talked about how, you know, like he was on a handful of episodes of The Office.
Right.
But then he was just like, you know, I got BJ Novak telling me what to do. He's like, no, thanks. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like, yeah, but dude, that's the number one comedy, like on NBC at like 8 o'clock. Like, you just do it. Just do the show. And like, it'll help you sell tickets. It'll help you do this. It'll help you get into movies. But he was just like, no, I'm not going to do it. And I was listening to, it was Opie and Anthony with Patrice, and they were interviewing Dane Cook. And Dane made a joke. He's like, oh, it must be nice to be Patrice. Just have no goals.
Well, and that's what always struck me about Patrice O'Neill, and listening to those stories and listening to like people talk about him, was just like how cool he was.
Yes.
Like, he just didn't care. And like, there's an awesome story in Jim Norton's book, Happy Endings, where him and Patrice go to Brazil. And Patrice has a very specific nickname that I can't say on this podcast because it's a family podcast. But it's an unbelievable story how he travels. What he travels with will blow your mind. I'll tell you off air.
He seems like the man. And just like how cool he looks in like the leather jacket with hat during his special. Like, he's just the man. And he's another one that does, like, he talks to people in the crowd, is pretty funny, but it's just, That's as good of a special as there is. And it's also funny, our list early, Bill Burr, Louis C.K., Patrice O'Neill, all from the Boston area.
Right.
Which is maybe no surprise. So Patrice, I was looking this up. So he went to West Roxbury, and I think he got recruited to play football at Northeastern, but then ultimately wanted to do like, I don't know if it was theater, but just sort of like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and then he got into stand-up comedy from there.
You know, I was just thinking about him being on The Office. Like, he played opposite, like, Craig Robinson. When Craig Robinson, Daryl from The Office, who was, like, nobody at the time, and then Craig Robinson, like, blew up.
Yeah, right. Patrice could have done that.
He could have.
Because they were, like, they would work in the warehouse together. Yeah. And I remember Patrice probably only had a handful of lines in The Office, but he was funny. Like, you remember him, and you're like, oh, he was good.
His name, and like, yeah, his character's name was Lonnie.
Lonnie, that's a good trivia question. I don't know if a lot of people would get that one. He's one of those guys that you're like, if he was still around now, I bet he would have had two or three more. Like, Netflix would have gotten to him. He would have had at least two more specials on Netflix.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
And he would have been great. So I think that entire elephant in the room is on YouTube. If you guys haven't seen it, I would really recommend that. So that number eight is Patrice O'Neill.
Number seven. A comedy legend, George Carlin at USC. I think it was like an evening with George Carlin at USC or something like that. Mm-hmm. Came out in the late 70s. My father actually had this on record. There was a record recording of this that I own that I'll still listen to from time to time. And what made this, obviously George Carlin coming out in the 60s, where you had, you know, basically if you were going to be a successful comedian, you would go on The Tonight Show or you go on The Late Show or whatever. And he did that and then kind of broke out. Lenny Bruce was a big hero of his, this kind of like new style, like, you know, hard-nosed, angry comedian. So George Carlin comes out of the 60s and, you know, the late 70s, he does this thing live at USC where he does the whole bit about the seven words you can't say on TV.
Yeah, it's like one of the most famous stand-up bits of all time, probably.
It's one of the most famous stand-up bits of all time. The set itself is incredible. I used to, like pretend to be listening to something else with headphones when my parents are around and be like listening to this. And this is the first mm-hmm. time I heard like the C word used. And there's a, there's right. like a, when you see the taping of it, and half of all, like watching comedy is like watching people do it, because if you just listen to the recording, it's like whatever. There's a warning before he goes into like the seven dirty words about like there's really profane language coming up. You're like, oh, if funny. You, yeah, shut it off now if you don't want to watch it, that kind of thing. And I have a soft spot in my heart. One of the first live comedy act I ever saw was actually George Carlin at Songus, no, at the Wang Theater in Lowell, Mass. My dad took me. I think I was too young. I was like 11 or 12.
That's awesome.
And he called, he was talking about women in his set, and he called this woman that he ran into at a store a superficial effing C. And, and like, I'm not kidding, like six women like got up and left.
Oh my God.
And as they were leaving the Wang, he said, "Where are you going, you effing C's?" And I was like, my 12-year-old, like 11-year-old mind was just absolutely blown. Like, I was like, oh my God. And not only was I like, I thought there was going to be like a fight, but everyone started laughing.
Oh, that's amazing.
And it was like that kind of thing, just to be able to like push it like that. And obviously that's not very good language, but just great comedy.
Oh my God, that is so funny. I forget who I heard. Somebody had a similar experience. I don't know if it might have been Bill Burr, but it was some comedian was on another comedian's podcast that I was listening to, and they were asking him like your introduction into comedy, and they were like, "Yeah, like I was super young. My dad took me to see George Carlin."
Really?
And like, and yeah. So I swear to God, I'll try to find out who it was. It might have been Burr.
Yeah, that was my intro to comedy, the Wang Theater in Lowell, Mass, with my dad. Well, if you think about my dad.
Just about every good comic, when they're like, well, of a certain age, like the guys that are older, like the guys that are in their like 40s, early 50s now that we've been watching for a long time, if you're like, who inspired you? It's all Carlin, Pryor,
oh yeah,
Kennison. Like yep. it's all like that group every single time. It's pretty mm-hmm. funny. All right, Ryan, number six. This one I understand is going to be controversial. I know it is very easy to hate this guy or to claim that he's not funny, but I reject those claims. Number six is Dane Cook, and I'm going to go with his stuff. You could really go The Harmful If Swallowed, his first album, I thought was great, but I think Retaliation was a little bit better.
And you have to, you know, there's a time where we thought Creed was a good band. There's a time where we, you know, people were really into that stuff. And I'm not saying that Dane Cook is the Creed of stand-up
he's
comedy.
He's not Creed. That's he's too much Creed. Of a slap. Come
That's
on.
Not what I'm saying, but he could be the Korn of stand-up comedy.
Where, so he gets a bad rap for a lot of reasons. He does. Like a lot of other comedians hate him. I do think there is a sense of jealousy. I know a lot of them would say no, but Dane Cook's not just a stand-up comic. He also became, I don't know if star is right, but he made a lot of money in movies.
He did.
And not a lot of these other guys have done that. He's also selling out the Garden. He's going around. He's got these crazy tours. So one of the reasons why they don't like him, I guess he's kind of a, I guess he can be a prick, whatever. I don't know him. I don't care about that. The one thing I would care about, which is shitty, would be if he stole stuff, right? Like that's one of the main things you hear with Dane Cook, specifically Louis C.K. And then I think Joe Rogan also accused him of stealing one of his bits. My thoughts are, if he knowingly did it, that's obviously bullshit and that sucks. I do think if you see a ton of stand-up comedy, like if say you're a stand-up comic and you're trying to get better, you're going to the Comedy Cellar or the Comedy Store or the Laugh Factory, you're going every day. You're trying to get on stage, and when you're not, you're sitting there listening. And then when you go home to write stuff, I don't know how you can't sort of be influenced. Like, you might think it's your idea, right? Maybe I'm just making excuses for a guy that I think is funny, but like, I don't know how that can't happen.
No. And like think of it from like a songwriting perspective. I mean, if you're writing a song, I mean, there's a combinations of words that just sound good together. There's chords that just sound good together. I mean, there has to be like, we call it music theory, but there has to be like a comedy theory as well. And mm-hmm. like you said, you get your ideas from, I mean, this is coming from me. Someone asked me to do stand-up one time, and I was like, absolutely not, because I think it's the hardest thing to do in the world.
I think it would be the hardest thing to do in the world.
Like, to be funny in, like, a group of people, just you.
Because, like, other things, like, I'm not saying, like, other jobs aren't hard. They are, but I feel like if you dedicate enough time to it, you could probably do it. Like, if you just spent your entire time, like, and went to a lot of school and did this, okay. But, like, you can't really learn to do this. And I feel like people who do that, like, that's not going to work either. Like, no. Like, I'm going to study how to be funny. Like, nope, you're already missing it. You're not going to do it.
Look, it's fucking Borat. Remember they had the humor coach? Remember how unfunny that guy was?
Yeah. He was doing not jokes.
Yeah. Not jokes. Yeah. Like, so, but like, there are parts of Dane Cook's bits, especially in Retaliation, that are legitimately funny. Now,
I think he's hilarious. I've seen him. He's the only one on this list that I've seen multiple times.
And
I think he's great.
But like, good energy. I mean, I like him and Kevin Hart are kind of cut from the same cloth. And just like the amount of energy they bring to the stage. And Kevin Hart is someone who, spoiler, not on the list.
No, he's not.
But a very good comedian. There are some incredible bits that he does. But there are just people better. And like Dane Cook, I don't know if Dane Cook's better than Kevin Hart, but I would say that Retaliation is something I listened to back in the day and laughed a lot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have all of his CDs. I got his DVDs. Like, I was a huge fan. And if you want to say, like, to the point where there's too much of them, whatever. The joke-stealing thing, I will say this, for the Dane Cook haters – and I remember a few years ago, Tutcher and Rich did a whole thing about worst comic. I think like for their like Dork Madness, they call theirs, they did worst comedian, and he finished first. And I was just like, "There's no fucking way.
There's no way.
There's no way he's the worst comedian. Like he might be a dick. Again, for people who know him, maybe he's a dickhead. But this is what I will say: Patrice O'Neill is maybe the most liked. We just went through talking about him. Mm-hmm. Maybe the most liked." He grew up in the comedy game with Dane Cook and defended Dane. Till the day he died, he would defend Dane, and he would say, you guys shit on Dane. Like, Dane Cook went on Mark Maron's podcast, and Mark Maron was, like, shitting on him, and, like Mark Maron hated him. Like, forget Mark Maron. Like, I know Ron frickin' White from the Rednecks.
Yeah.
He thinks Dane Cook's not funny. Like, he can fuck like, right you're off. Not
funny. Yeah, same with, like, Larry the Cable Guy. Like, screw that guy.
You don't like Dane Cook? Good. Piss off. Now, Nick DiPaolo doesn't like him, and I do like Nick DiPaolo, so like that Nick one kind of hurts to hear. But a lot of these other guys, like, even Jim Norton, I've heard, you know, overall defend Dane Cook. So that's kind of good. Like, there's enough good guys, it seems like, that are okay with him. And like Louis C.K. even had him come on his show. You remember?
I was just about to talk about that. And that was the best scene I've ever seen in Louis, like in the show, where he actually, he was shitting on Dane Cook. And then he was like, he had to ask him for tickets to something.
It was hilarious. Yeah. Like, didn't his kid want to see him?
His kid wanted to see something. And he said, oh, I can like something with like their manager, like had to go through Dane to like get the tickets. And so Dane, and it was just
he played himself, and he did. It was like it was pretty real, I think.
And it was just them sitting across from each other, and like the most awkward conversation. Because like Louis, you know, you could see him like talking a big game like to somebody, and then as soon as he gets face to face with somebody, like completely backing down.
Yeah. Oh, it was great.
And it was this is exactly what he did, like in the show.
A lot of awkward silences in there. It was really good. The other thing that I've heard like as a criticism to Dane is like, all these comedians that they are also like, they're all like fractured people and they're all like depressed and stuff. And how he doesn't talk about anything that's like serious. And it's like, that's fine. Like, you don't all have to be like that. Like, no. I'm sorry. Some of you are depressed and want to kill yourselves. Dane, maybe he does, but he's not going to bring it on stage, you know? And if he's going to pour water on his head and pretend to be a predator, I'm going to laugh. Cause I think it's funny.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Like, I think his stuff is good. And so,
it's
that's
just
why
like,
he's on the list.
Yeah,
number six.
It's just like an absolute machine gun of a comedian. Just like never stops, you know. So
it's great.
Number five, and this is one we're starting to get into the territory where you and I wholeheartedly agree that these should be on the list.
Oh my god, this one's amazing.
And
this one could be higher.
This one should be higher, but I have a reason why it's not on my list, and that is the original Kings of Comedy special with Steve Harvey, Cedric the Entertainer, D.L. Hughley, and Bernie Mac. I think this came out when we were in high school.
Oh my god, we had the DVD. We this was on the out of the five DVDs that we watched the most. I would say Spinal Tap, Basketball, Original Kings of Comedy. Maybe another rotation.
Maybe some action, The Matrix or something. The reason that this is five on our list, and I will say this might be, I thought D.L. Hughley's set sucked in this show.
It's clearly fourth.
Yeah.
Clearly fourth.
Yeah. And I thought there was like, you can even tell in the audience, like, he's not getting the pops that like other people are.
No, he's not. Those other three guys are legends. Like, he's not for me. He, This is also kind of cheating a little bit. Like, I guess it counts because it's stand-up specials, but everybody else, it's a one-man bit. Like, This is four guys. So, to me, it's either Cedric the Entertainer. Well, actually, all three of them are. How would you rank it?
I would say Cedric's whole thing is awesome.
I think it might be the best on there.
I thought Steve Harvey, while he doesn't do, he's like the MC of the whole thing. So it's not like he comes out back and forth like four times. Yeah. But his interaction with that guy, Boogie, I don't think I've laughed as hard when he looked at the guy and he said, what do you do for work? And he said, computer school. And he goes, there's nothing about, the guy's name is Boogie. And he goes, there's nothing about you that says computer or school. I would cry laughing. I thought that was the funniest thing.
That was amazing. That was so good. The whole Cedric the Entertainer thing, when he's talking about the guy fixing your car with the cigarette in his mouth. Amazing.
Bernie Mac is awesome, but half of Bernie Mac, like, you can't understand him.
No, but he just gets on a roll. He just gets going. And when he's talking about
the kids,
with the kids.
Milk and cookies. I'm getting some milk and cookies. That only, so funny.
And he's like dead serious. He's like, you should be able to punch a kid in the throat or the chest.
throat or the stomach.
I'm going to get some milk and cookies.
Him downstairs.
He's talking about me in my house.
Just brilliant. But like the whole thing with like Cedric the Entertainer and like golf. Like,
the golf. Borrowing the golf cart
to go to the store.
Oh my God. Or when he's like, doing that whole thing, when he's got like the music hooked up to him too, and he's talking about like driving the
Deuce and a Quarter.
The what?
The Deuce and a Quarter.
Oh, the Deuce and a Quarter one is good too. Oh my God.
Turning the music down so you can back up.
Yes.
Like that's a spaceship. Oh, it's good shit. And that's just like, it's just, I mean, there's nothing else you can say. If you haven't seen them, it's a stand-up special. It's four guys, but just wire to wire funny. Except for D.L. Hughley. We hit the chapter skip button. Skip it.
I've probably only seen D.L. Hughley's bit like twice. I've seen everybody else's like 20.
It's not that good. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, number four. And again, this one I really liked. But again, like, this could easily be ranked 10th and you could flip them around or whatever. But I got at number four, I got John Mulaney. I'm going with New in Town. I think you could also go with The Comeback Kid, both of which are better than the more recent Kid Gorgeous, which is worth watching, but the other two are better. So New in Town is hilarious. He's only like 28, I think, when he's doing this one. He is one of those guys that when he comes out on stage, I was not prepared for how funny he was going to be.
No, he looks like this, like, he looks like a nerd.
Talks about his parents a lot in this one. He does the Home Alone thing about Home Alone, Lost in New York. He's like, the streets are numbered. How can you be lost in New York? What a stupid title.
Yeah. He's just a really funny guy who's now, I would say, he's always been funny, but is now hitting that stride with Big Mouth. And with Kid Gorgeous was super, super successful. And people loved Kid Gorgeous. I thought the whole thing, the Street Smarts with Bit and Binder,
Street Smarts was great on the last one.
The only part I didn't laugh about in that comedy special was when he's talking about college, and it was a little too real when he's talking about college being the single worst financial decision he's made in his life. And I was like, yeah, that's true. I, you know, paid $250,000 for majoring in a language I already speak. But he's like, if you had like, I don't want to get into the whole bit because I'll ruin it. But like that's just like, super funny and clever. I would say
it's very clever. And like you can tell that this guy was a writer on like a bunch of like on SNL and like on other sitcoms. Like you can tell, but he also has a stage presence about him. Like he's not that big of a guy, but he's got like a really loud, kind of like commanding voice.
Yeah.
Like very clear. Like, you know what I mean? He's good stage presence.
And one of the things we haven't really talked about with anybody else, but all of the people we've mentioned are brilliant with this, but I feel like Mulaney, it's more on display for me when he does stand up is the timing, the pacing of the jokes and the timing of the jokes and how it's worded. Because if you talk to like any comedian, one of the things, or you hear any, sorry, I don't talk to many comedians, but are you listening to comedians talk on any podcast, or you listen to like Marc Maron talk on his podcast, and they talk a lot about writing and wording things certain ways. like there's, you could say a joke one way and it's not funny, but if you reword it to sound a little bit different, it's funnier that way.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I watch, do you watch comedians get in cars getting coffee or something like that?
I've seen most of them.
Where yeah. Jerry Seinfeld will talk, he talks about like, I forget who he's talking to, but he's like, they say like, well, it would be funny if you said it like this.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's the same joke. You just say same it joke. Differently.
Just you say it differently or like, or how you say it, or you switch a word around. You're right. Yeah. But it's, for some reason, it's better.
And the science of that to me is fascinating. And I think Mulaney nails that. And like you said, it has to do with him being a writer.
Yeah. Yeah, you can definitely tell that he is, but mm-hmm. he's good. So I ended up going with New in Town there. So we got Mulaney coming in at number four.
And number three, this is my pick. And this is available on Netflix right now if you guys want to watch it. It is Richard Pryor Live in Concert, which was recorded, I believe, in like 1979. So this is before either of us were born.
Right.
But again, my father being a big comedy fan, sitting me down and like having me watch this, I don't really remember laughing as hard at things I didn't understand, because Richard Pryor's using, you know, he's MFing people and using the N-word liberally, and this is the first time I'd heard any of that stuff. But watching him do it, watching this special, you understand when he does like, you know, his white guy voice and like all that stuff, like the physicality of the comedy of Richard Pryor is amazing to watch. And I would say with the next two people we're going to bring up, you could say that, like, you know, one person could be like the Michael Jordan of stand-up comedy. Richard Pryor is like the Wilt Chamberlain, like Dr. J, like the best.
Oh yeah, like Bill Russell, like going comedian, all the way back. Yeah,
the best comedian you've ever seen would be nothing without Richard Pryor.
Right. I was gonna, like, that's why, like, Carlin and Pryor, like the two of them, like without those guys, you know, maybe somebody else would have picked it up, but it might have been years down the road. Like it was like those guys that got things started, and like a lot of comedians, and like, you know, shockingly, Chris Rock is not on our list. We're going to do honorable mentions coming up, but Chris Rock is great. Bring the Pain. I love Bring the Pain.
Is a top 10 comedy special.
It is.
In another list.
It should be on the list. It's not. We didn't have room for it, but Chris Rock is hilarious, and there's a lot of Richard Pryor there, certainly, with Chris Rock stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's good, and I, you know, we easily could have made a list, you know, like since 2000, and like, you know, it would have eliminated Pryor, would have eliminated Carlin, but it's good to include those guys. I mean, they're just obviously legends. That's where, I mean, it goes back to those guys. And there's another guy, which we'll get to. In honorable mentions. Anything else on number three before we get to number two?
No, I mean, if you want to see the birth of stand-up as you know it, like if you want to see, like, and go into, I would say, like I said, this special is on Netflix right now. And I would say go and watch it as a clean slate, knowing that, like, it might not be, like, have that edge now, but back then it absolutely did.
Yeah, good point.
You know, so I
do think there's a little bit, like, for me personally, like, I respect, like, the influence that he had on everybody else, but it's almost similar to, like, Caddyshack and Animal House and, like, movies like that, which I recognize are good, but they're not as funny to me as, like, some of the modern stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the joke where he talks about how his father died at 57, having sex with a girl who was 18 years old, and he says, so he came and went at the same time, that's an unbelievable joke. That would be at the time, it's the perfect joke, but now you'd be like, oh, okay, like you've heard that version of that joke time and time again, but he was the first one to tell that joke, and that joke is killer, you know. So I mean, if you're a fan of comedy and you have not seen a Richard Pryor special, you kind of need to.
I agree. There you go. Number two was my number one, could easily be number one, and that would be Dave Chappelle, Killing Them Softly. He's got a few good ones. This is his best one. this has got the Oscar the Grouch stuff.
Yep.
He's got the, you know, the thing about Pepe Le Pew. He's got like the about 911 calls getting released.
Yep.
And it's like, and it's him like, I shit on myself. I can't stop crying. Did you say, did you shit on yourself? No. Like, it's,
and I think this is hilarious. One of my favorite bits of his where he gets pulled over with his white friend. Who's,
yes.
And they're both high. He's like, I didn't know I couldn't do that. Like that was
the, no, I couldn't do that. Yeah. Amazing.
And how I feel about Chappelle and how I've always felt about Chappelle. And I've watched his more recent stand-up specials, which are great. Not as good as this. Cause you could tell there was some energy, there was some youthful energy in Killing Them Softly.
This is incredible. Yeah.
Is genius. Like I think his comedy styling is, and even on his show, all of that stuff is close to genius.
I agree. I love him. And yeah, you can definitely see, and it's funny. So some of the stuff that I'll like quote, I don't remember if it's from his show, and then some of it's actually from the stand up, and like they all kind of blend together. Cause this is another one where I've seen the stand up a bunch, but then we also had it, I think on CD or somebody did either in college or in high school. And we played the shit out of it there too. So yeah. Definitely have heard it a whole bunch. And it's awesome.
How many times you and I have seen every episode of Chappelle's show where,
right.
You know, some of the stuff we reference, like whether it be on stream or on this, are like from deleted scenes from things that never aired. Remember there was like that second, yeah, like the thing Maximize Me where he does the supersize me, but he actually gets skinnier. Like that was one of the funnier things I'd seen.
She thinks she cute. I know I'm cute.
Oh, I ain't mad at you.
Like, I ain't mad at you. Like, oh.
But just like... super, super funny guy.
The best.
Went a little crazy.
I'm glad he's doing stuff again, too, because he took a long hiatus.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He sure did.
But he's back. I mean, he's back. He's doing well. I really did like his comedy specials. So
yeah, his new stuff was pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, before we get to number one, let's toss out some honorable mentions, ones that made our individual lists or just missed our individual list that did not make it into our combined top 10. You had some more older school ones.
Yeah, so the first one, again, this is a controversial one, but if you take current events out, as I said before, Bill Cosby himself, that whole comedy special is, again, it's genius.
O.J. Simpson's still in the Hall of Fame.
O.J. Simpson's still in the Hall of Fame. You know, we're still not recognizing Pete Rose's records and his accomplishments, but somehow... Bill Cosby himself, so many good bits in that. It's stand-up comedy, but he's sitting in a chair the whole time. So that's interesting.
well, there's a joke right there. Right, but
I think as a child, because it was completely clean, so I was allowed to watch it. The hardest I've laughed as a kid was watching this comedy special.
Mm-hmm. Hard to think about it now because he probably went home and raped someone.
Yeah.
Because he's a monster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of bringing us down here, Ryan. I will give you a couple of my honorable mentions. Dave Attell. I love Dave Attell.
Yes.
I loved his show, Insomniac. His best special is probably Skanks for the Memories. He has a few other ones. I mean, just maybe the best name for a... actually, he had a few other pretty graphic names in there, too. Something about what was this? It's like your mouth's not pregnant. Something aggressive.
It's super aggressive. But he's so like
David Attell's.
Yeah, he's like a comedian's comedian. You know,
everybody loves Attell. Everybody like Colin Quinn. Like they all love Quinn. They all love David Attell. Mm-hmm. I also like Jim Norton. I mean, you can sort of pick one of his specials. Even some of his more recent stuff's pretty good.
Oh, what was that? He had one. Monster Rain is my favorite Jim Norton.
Yep. Good. Okay. That's
one of my favorite. Yeah. So my next honorable mention, I'm going to pull I'm throwing a curveball at you. I switched one without, I pulled a sneaky. It was going to be Andrew Dice Clay, the Dice Man Cometh, but I'm going to go with Sam Kinison breaking all the rules.
Sure.
Sam Kinison, another pick of the pod, a guy I didn't really understand. I thought he just like yelled a lot. Like he was just like an angrier Bobcat Goldthwait, but,
he definitely yelled,
but just a super, super funny guy. And great special. So I'll leave that one at that because I know we're pressed for time here.
We sort of mentioned Chris Rock. So Chris Rock definitely, again, should have been on the top 10. I mean, Chris Rock for sure. Bring the Pain's our favorite. And then the other one I like, I saw him when he was touring with Dane Cook, was Gary Gulman, another Massachusetts guy. He's got a few specials. No Can Defend was one of his in there in the middle, I think. So Gary Goldman, I liked
and
a lot.
He was, so remember Dane Cook did that show? I think it was on like HBO or something where they did like the tour.
Yeah, it was a Tourgasm.
It was a Tourgasm. That was right. And Gary Goldman was on that. And I remember thinking, watching that whole series, that Gary Goldman was the funniest comedian on that tour.
He was. He had the best stuff. He's
He didn't, like, at one point he, like, left. Like, he, like, he's like, I'm not doing this.
I think
like,
he did.
Yeah.
He was all, yeah, he was also on Last Comic Standing. He was on two of the seasons of Last Comic Standing.
Oh, wow.
I think he played football at BC. He's like, yeah, but anyway.
Anyway.
Number one, Ryan. Number one, take it away. And really, you could go with one or two specials.
One or two specials. But two I want to mention, too, what I really like. Mike Birbiglia, Thank God for Jokes, and My Girlfriend's Boyfriend, both on Netflix. He's an incredible storyteller comedian. I love how he tells like an entire story. It's basically like a one-man show. And the last one I want to mention is No Cure for Cancer, Dennis Leary, another Boston guy. A CD, I went to a Catholic junior high school, and a CD that was taken from me by and thrown in the trash by the principal of said junior high school for listening to it. And I thought Dennis Leary was the funniest guy in the world. That's where he did the asshole song on that thing.
It's a good song. It's a good song. Another guy like Dane Cook who has been accused of stealing bits.
Whatever. But Dennis Leary is hilarious. All right. So number one with a bullet. And again, you could go either one of these comedy specials, Eddie Murphy, Raw, or Delirious. I prefer Raw.
I think I might like Delirious more, but it's a flip of a coin.
So Delirious was like super funny and a great special. And Raw was like, okay, we're going to have to take this to like the next level. And again, saw this way too young, didn't get half the jokes, but loved every minute of it. And you could say, so what we were saying before is like, if Richard Pryor is like the Bill Russell, Dr. J, Wilt Chamberlain.
No, you're confusing him. Dr. J is not nearly old enough. You got to think like Bill Russell.
So Bill Russell, like Wilt Chamberlain.
Wilt Chamberlain, Oscar Robertson.
If Richard Pryor is that, then Eddie Murphy is like the Michael Jordan of stand-up comedy.
Yeah. Murphy's Jordan, then Chappelle's like LeBron.
Yeah, exactly. But arguably the best stand-up comedian to ever live, I would say, is Eddie Murphy. And it's just a shame that – and someone said like he was going to try to do stand-up again, which I would absolutely go see.
Absolutely. I would see it for sure. Yeah, that's a weird one because those are two of the best specials of all time. And then – he did make some good movies. He did. And then it was, okay, a lot of kid movies. So, I mean, he's smart. Movies. He's got a ton of money.
But for
a guy that's that funny.
And, like, you wonder, like, you take the foot off the gas a little bit and you kind of, you know, wanted to be in movies and did a really good job. I mean, you think of, like, The Nutty Professor is hilarious. The Clumps, not so much. But, like, 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop, movies like that. I mean, what is the other movies? Trading
Coming
Places.
To America,
Coming
you say?
To America.
Yeah.
You know, those movies are hilarious. The Golden Child, which is one of my favorites. It's a terrible movie, but I love The Golden Child.
It would have been great. He was supposed to be in Ghostbusters, which really would have been perfect.
Yeah, and wasn't, like, Belushi and, like, John Candy supposed to be in that, too? It was, like, a whole thing.
Maybe. Murphy definitely was. Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I think it was – actually, it might have been Jay Moore talking about how – he got a chance to meet Eddie Murphy, and he obviously loves Eddie Murphy because he's another stand-up, and he was like, was talking to him about some of his, like, part of his act, and he was like, it was weird because he was like trying to almost, like, explain to Eddie, like, he, like, loved his joke. He's like, I mean, he's like, you had this one joke about, like, the one where, like, his dog doesn't listen to his dad, right? Yeah. Like, it doesn't listen to his dad and, like, doesn't pay attention to him. But, like, the whole idea of the joke is, like, the dog does know his name and, like, and therefore is not listening to the owner, like, knowingly. And so he was saying that to Eddie, but Eddie was like, oh, yeah, that's right. And I did a bad job explaining the story, but it was basically, like, Eddie was so smart, but either he lost it or, like, I don't know what happened with him. Like, it's just...
Yeah. Money.
It's hard to explain.
Money, man.
Must have been.
You know, it must have been. And, like, you know, listening to... One of my favorite parts of Chappelle, obviously, is listening to the stories about, like, Eddie Murphy, with Charlie Murphy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just how famous he was in, like, the 80s.
Super famous,
the biggest
yeah.
thing in the world. And I would say, you know, stand-up comedians being superstars, that's due to Eddie Murphy.
Well, think about it. He was the best guy on SNL when he was, like, 20 or whatever it was. Was he younger than that? Maybe he was 19. Like, he was insanely young. And he was – there was that one year where he was the cast. He was in like every skit. He was incredible. Yeah,
that's the one where they like shit canned the show like halfway through the season, but kept him.
They were like, that's it. That's all we got.
Yeah. But the next season, like they canceled him and Elaine, like Charles Rocket and like all those like lamos. And like Tim Kaczynski, remember the guy from Sweet Chuck from Police Academy? Oh, like he was on it.
Of course.
You have no idea what I'm talking about. Do you?
No.
Sweet Chuck, the little nerdy guy from Police Academy.
You talk about Joe Piscopo.
No, I'm not. No. but anyway, so sure Eddie not. Murphy Raw and Eddie Murphy Delirious. He's wearing his leather suits.
Oh, they look so uncomfortable.
So uncomfortable. He's got like those little like black leather gloves on, which you can tell. On. He is
what
just
are you doing?
He is just sweating his ass off, but like killing it. Like
killing it.
And I bet if you asked any comedian like who's the best comedian ever, they'd be like Eddie Murphy.
Probably Murphy, they would say. Yeah.
Or like
probably.
Richard Pryor or George like be like Eddie Murphy, Richard Pryor are the two best comedians.
Yeah, those would have to be the two for sure.
But hey.
All right, so there you go. There's our list. Top 10 stand-up specials. Galifianakis, Live at the Purple Onion, Bill Burr, Let It Go. Number 9, Louis C.K., Shameless. Number 8, Patrice O'Neill, Elephant in the Room. Number 7, George Carlin at USC. Number 6, Dane Cook, Retaliation. Number 5, the original Kings of Comedy. Number 4, John Mulaney, New in Town. Number 3, Richard Pryor, Live in Concert. Number 2, Dave Chappelle, Killing Them Softly. And number 1, Eddie Murphy, really Raw or Delirious.
Take
doesn't
your pick.
Matter. Pick your poison.
Take your pick.
They're both the best. Anything else on any of those guys?
No, just awesome stuff.
Okay. All right. Ryan, pick of the podcast.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Kick, receive, defer, or defend a goal.
I'll receive. And I brought this up earlier, but I didn't even know this was on Netflix, but please watch Richard Pryor live in concert. That's my pick of the pod for this
good one.
I know, yeah. It's on Netflix. You can find it. Easily accessible. Watch it.
Yeah, so when I was going back and trying to like put our list together and I wanted to rewatch them, between Netflix and YouTube, you can really track down a lot of these.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and even YouTube, some of them, they may not have the full special, but you'll at least be able to get chunks of it, and it's worth it if you just want to see some of these guys.
And once everybody has their own streaming service, this is going to be Netflix's like bread and butter. Like they do this better than anybody right now. Even HBO, who was like any comedy special on HBO was like the biggest thing you could do as a comedian, but now it's Netflix.
Oh, Netflix definitely is Netflix. My pick of the podcast, I'm telling you, Ryan, I am balls deep into Fables.
Yeah, right.
Love Fable. I'm on volume 6.
It's nice, right?
And count. I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's got. It's a you know I like finding out who people are.
Well, that's what's funny too, and I've been like, I've had like my phone with me while I'm doing it, and like some of them are obviously very obvious. Yeah. Like, oh, here's Beauty and the Beast, or but then there's like other ones where you're
big
like
Big B Wolf, like Big B Wolf, Big Bad.
Yeah,
Wolf.
You're like, I got it. But then some of the other ones are like, oh, and you're like, that's an old, like you're really going back in the old tales. So that's pretty good.
Basically, what it is that show Once Upon a Time, but like way better.
Yeah, so I never watched it. I probably would have liked it. I did watch the show Grimm.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, you know, some overlap there. And actually, that's a good answer. Last week when they were asking, what's a bad show that you watched?
Grimm.
That show's probably not great, but I watched every goddamn episode.
Of Grimm?
So, of Grimm, yeah.
Fringe, for me.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, that's going to do it. You can rate, review, and subscribe on the iTunes to hashtag Dork. We appreciate all of the ratings and reviews. It's very kind of you. You can follow us on Twitter, at Dork Podcast. YouTube.com/dorkpodcast. You can email us anytime you want, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. Dave, you're on the Twitch.
I am on the Twitch. We're on the Twitch every Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday. We get some big things popping. Movember is still going. We have a lot of things going on with that. So it is Giving Tuesday today. Not to date this, I always date it.
Yeah. Nobody's going to listen to it on Tuesday by the time it's
whatever.
Up.
One of the great things that's going on with Twitch right now is a friend of the podcast he and I have been emailing back and forth. This kid who's an unbelievable graphic designer and web designer. If you guys are in the market for all this stuff, this guy named Andy Bourne, he is, reach out to me if you guys need anything, I'll point you in his direction. He is creating a logo and trying to help me brand this Twitch thing. So some of the logos he's come up with for me are insane and they're so good. And I can't wait to, we finish them up and I get to show you guys. They'll be all over the Twitch page, all over. But Andy Bourne, if you guys need his contact information, let me know.
Very nice, Ryan. Another perfect episode.
Hashtag, it's the hashtag Dork Podcast.